Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of John. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from John chapter 20, verse 31.
But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name.
The first words of the Bible record God speaking creation into life. And at the beginning of this gospel, in deliberate parallel, John opens by presenting God as speaking salvation into life. Humanity's disobedience corrupted God's original creation. It brought brokenness and death into the world and separated humanity from God. But according to John, hope has arrived. Jesus has brought God's life-giving power into our midst. With eyewitness accounts from his time as one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, John structures his book with 7 signs that Jesus performed throughout his ministry. These signs reveal the nature of God's salvation so that people might come to believe in Jesus. As John so clearly states in John 20:31, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We're going to examine these 7 signs and explore what they teach us about the life inherent in God's salvation. So first, we learn that life is found in Jesus. With the first sign, we see Jesus turn water to wine at a wedding after the party's wine had all run out. Now, to the Jews of this time, abundance of wine was a marker that the Messianic age had arrived. The age when God would restore His creation. So with this miracle, Jesus is displaying that He is the Messiah who has come to bring life to His people in His world. He is the bridegroom of heaven, come for His bride. The 6 following signs unfold the essence and character of this life. With the 2nd and 3rd signs, we see Jesus heal the 6 son of a believing father and enable a paralyzed man to walk again. Now, these 2 miraculous healings serve to point to the complete restoration from all suffering that is to come at Christ's second coming. Until then, those who believe in Jesus may experience physical healing in this life, but they are certain to experience spiritual healing. As we grow up in Christ, He makes us whole. He restores us from the destruction sin has brought into our lives, our bitterness, our fear, our shame, our addictions. Life in Jesus means healing. For the 4th sign, Jesus transforms 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food to feed a crowd of 5,000. And then shortly thereafter, for the 5th sign, Jesus walks on water and brings his disciples safely across the sea in the storm. What's the significance of these signs? Well, with these 2 miracles, Jesus is revealing himself to be the fulfillment of the Exodus narrative, which tells the story of the Israelites' deliverance from their slavery in Egypt. God saved his people from the Egyptians through a miraculously parted sea, and then God miraculously sustained them with food in their journey through the desert. So with the parallel miracles of crossing water and multiplying food, Jesus is showing himself to be God's ultimate gift of deliverance. In Jesus, believers are freed from the enslaving power of sin. They are freed from the hold of guilt and shame. Life in Jesus means freedom. Jesus' healing of a blind man is recorded as the 6th sign. To perform this miracle, Jesus spits in the dirt and rubs the mud on the blind man's eyes. If we look back to the original creation account, we see God make man out of dirt. Now Jesus is restoring a man with dirt. With this symbolic tie, Jesus is displaying that he has come to renew humanity. Those who believe in Jesus are united to him so that they become a new creation. Everything Jesus accomplished, his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, this is all credited to the believer. All of Jesus's power becomes theirs, and they're continually transformed to look more like Christ. Life in Jesus means being made new. For the seventh sign, Jesus amazingly raises a friend named Lazarus from the dead. With this miracle, Jesus is displaying that he has come to defeat death, a victory he accomplished with his own death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. Those who believe in Jesus will live with him for eternity. In this current life, to know and worship God is to experience in part the glorious reality of the Christian's eternal existence. Life in Jesus means eternal glory. At the end of the book of John, after his death and resurrection, Jesus commissions his disciples to carry on his mission of bringing his life to the world. And as believers in Christ, we are commissioned just the same. This mission manifests itself as activity, but it begins with abiding. In John 15, Jesus describes himself as a vine full of God's life. As God's people, he says, we are branches connected to him, the vine, receiving and then delivering God's life and love into the world. As we abide in Christ, we become vessels of his life-giving power, bringing God's healing, freedom, renewal, and eternal life to others. In the 1800s, a man named Andrew Murray wrote of this concept of abiding in Christ. He encouraged his readers not to view the Christian life or the mission God has given us as a burden or strain, but as the natural outgrowth of the life of Christ within us. The key is not our striving, but our connection to Jesus. Murray writes, "The soul need but have one care, to abide closely, fully, wholly. Christ will give the fruit. He works all that is needed to make the believer a blessing." I recently started a garden, and the other day my one-year-old son walked over to it and picked a little yellow flower off its stem. Now, what do you think happened to that flower? It soon began to wither and fade because it was cut off from its source of life, the stem that delivered it water and nutrients. And it's the same with us in Christ. Without a connection to him, without resting in faith and dependence on him, we lose our source of life. And then we have nothing to give others. But what happens when we're connected to Christ? Murray writes, "As you are more closely united to him, somewhat of that passion for souls which urged him to Calvary begins to breathe within you, and you are ready to follow his footsteps, to forsake the heaven of your own happiness, and devote your life to win the souls Christ has taught you to love. The very spirit of the vine is love. The spirit of love streams into the branch that abides in him." So take a moment now to offer yourself to God as a vessel, that his life might flow through you to work its saving power in the world. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for the life he's given us in Christ and for honoring us with the calling to let this life flow out to others.
I cling to you.